Welcome, friends, to my October 11th edition of my podcast. I want to do a little something different today, and I want to discuss an amazing new field and the whole concept of microbiome, which is gaining a lot of popularity. We're learning a lot more, so I thought it'd be worthwhile to discuss what I know about it and what I think is the facts that are out there. So microbiome is really the aggregate of all the microbes that live in the body and the inside of the human body, mainly the gut, but also the skin and other organs. This will include your bacteria, fungi, protozoa, viruses. The number of genes in all the microbes in the microbiome can be almost 200 times the genes of the human genome. And a lot of the genes that are present in the human cells are actually thought to have been hijacked or implanted from bacteria at some point in our distant past. During my medical school years, we knew only a few hundred different bacteria that lived in the gut, but new techniques have now shown that there may be as many as 36,000 different types of bacteria living in our gut, which makes it a very, very complex organ all by itself. And a healthy microbiome helps to foster the proper development of immune cells, because our body needs to see and interact with a wide variety of these organisms to develop the correct switches as to when to turn on and when to turn off. It literally is a very vast community of trillions of these bacteria and fungi that inhabit every nook and cranny of the GI tract. They have major influence, now we understand, on our metabolism, our body weight, our propensity to illness, our immune system, autoimmune problems, appetite, mood, depression. So this is a major new development that we've been learning about in the last probably 10 to 20 years. We should really think of it as a brand new organ, because if you weigh all the bacteria in the body, they weigh more than the human cells. And we really cannot live without them. The bacteria do a bunch of things in the body, including producing vitamins, a lot of the neurotransmitters. We'll talk a little bit about that. So what we've learned is that neurotransmitters, which are like serotonin and dopamine, they play a very major role in our mood, energy levels, motivation. Our gut microbes produce and respond to neurohormones like serotonin, dopamine, and GABA. In fact, almost 90% of the serotonin and 50% of the dopamine are actually produced in the gut. That's quite incredible. That was staggering to me when I learned that. Also, precursors of serotonin and dopamine are able to cross the blood-brain barrier and they alter our mood. So there's a huge link we know between the gut and the brain and mood disorders as well. A very common thing we see clinically is presence of irritable bowel. When we see IBS, irritable bowel, there's a huge correlation between anxiety, depression, and that finding. So this is quite a remarkable thing for us to just to ponder and think about. So why we are discussing this is because lack of diversity of the microbiome has been linked to a huge explosion of variety of problems, a lot of autoimmune problems, asthma, allergies, allergic rhinitis, eczema. In the last 40 years, probably from, we have data from 1960 to 2000, in those 40 years, the incidence of asthma increased tenfold in the United States. We all know either our children, friends, neighbors who have problems with allergies, asthma, eczema, food allergies. These problems have really skyrocketed, including more serious illnesses like type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's. So there is a very good correlation between the lack of complexity in the gut microbiome and development of these problems. So what can we do to fix that? That is one of the important things I want to talk about today. We're learning that a lot of the stuff that is in our food chain, like plastics, which contain bisphenol A, BPA, can affect our microbiome. And so can a very commonly used herbicide called glyphosate, also marketed by the name Roundup in the United States. Not only has that shown a big correlation between certain cancers like lymphomas, but also It has been shown to affect the microbiome very adversely. So wherever possible, the first thing I would say is eat organic as much as possible. So what things can we do? I mean, another thing we've learned is that babies born via C-section, they have a much higher incidence of allergies, asthma, probably because they're not exposed to the microbes they would be usually see through the vaginal birth canal. But regardless, going forward, what can be done? So one of the most common and important things that I talk about is increasing the fiber intake. And fiber not in the form of Metamucil, but in the form of actual foods. The most wide variety of foods that we can get, we should get as many different types of fruits and vegetables as possible and eat the fruits that are in season. Because the chemicals, the peak, are best when they are in season rather than coming out from refrigeration. Pick as many high fiber vegetables as possible. Artichokes, leeks, onions, garlic, they all have very high level of particular fiber called inulin, which is a prebiotic fiber. Obviously, all the greens, lettuce, spinach, they're all excellent. They have very high density of fiber. The other thing we can do is to pick foods which have very high level of polyphenols. Polyphenols are antioxidants that act as fuel for the microbiomes, and these are in the nuts, seeds, berries, olive oil, green tea. They help a lot. Then fermented foods have a lot of nice microbiome, and those would be like yogurts, raw milk, cheeses, sauerkraut, kimchi, which have any kind of fermented foods will offer that extra additional diversity in the microbiome. Small amount of alcohol can actually help, but we don't recommend large amounts of it. Staying away from all artificial sweeteners like aspartame, sucralose, saccharine, they seem to disrupt the metabolism of the microbes and reduce the gut diversity, which has led to such a big explosion of obesity. Spending more time outdoors is a big help. Gardening, being with animals, nature, so you're exposed to different bacteria, which will again improve the complexity and the variety of microbiome that you have. And of course, avoiding the antibiotics unless they're absolutely essential. And one of the common things we've seen is that don't be hygiene over-obsessed, because as we have improved our cleanliness and our kids have been brought up in very sanitary environments, their incidence of asthma, allergies, food allergies in particular, has gone up. So a certain amount of exposure, especially to certain microbes present in soil, may be helpful. The other thing is that, as we all know, foods that our bodies have adapted to over the millennia, that we've eaten, our forefathers have eaten, our bodies have kind of come to a very fine balance, which is what indeed the body is. Try not to disrupt that, which is why we're so much against GMOs, which are the genetically modified foods, because we do not know. It is such a fine balance that we are just starting to understand the basic surface of it, that if we introduce things that are not known, they may have major lasting effects. And as an oncologist, one piece of data has been fascinating for us is that we've seen that people who have a very diverse microbiome tend to have a better response to a type of agents called immune therapy, which to me was absolutely mind-boggling. How could that be? But that seems to be the case. So there is clearly something to this that we're still starting to tease out, but at least from the purposes of making some of these practical changes, I think this advice is very fair. Also, we are seeing that studies are being done where stool transplants have been done in some people because of certain medical illnesses. And even in humans and in mice, there is data mounting that our obesity may be related to our microbiome as well. So where certain people have had stool transplants for other reasons and they have managed to lose a lot of weight, and if they've taken a stool transplant from a leaner, thinner person, Again, it is not ready for prime time, but these are interesting observations that we are just trying to teach our the science behind it. But in summary, I think the microbiome is a very, very complex and yet very important organ of the body that we have previously not recognized, and now we are seeing that it is very important to maintain it as healthy as we can for a more balanced life, less chance of allergies, autoimmune problems, and also less chance of developing cancer. So especially in this day and age with COVID, maintaining a proper immunity, I believe, is the key, which is the best that we can do. So I thought this would be a little something different this week to discuss with you. Please share your feedback with me, and till next week, be well. Thank you.